scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, and chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. These can be found beginning on page 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, I will now have this pleasure." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 years old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age."
Thank you, Dan. Shall we pray? O God, bless to our hearts and lives this reading from your word, and may your spirit dwell within us to convict us and convert us and to move us to see ourselves as we are, so we can laugh at ourselves as much as we laugh at the things around us. Bless us in our time together, we pray. Amen. What makes you laugh? Anything ever make you laugh so hard you fell on the floor? Did to Abraham. But the Bible says, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance." To laugh is a wonderful thing. I think to laugh at ourselves is a true gift, because that's where we should really find the humor at the things that happen to each of us. There's so many sad things in the world around us. We need to lighten up and see the humor in things. We also need to help others to learn how to laugh. The scripture tells us there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. That we can't deny. We need to be there for each other in good times and hard times, but laughter truly is a gift from God. This past week, I read an excerpt from one of Frederick Buechner's books titled Peculiar Treasures, A Biblical Who's Who, and one of the passages that he addresses in this book is the 18th chapter of Genesis, the one that we just heard Dan read. Buechner says, "Quantitatively speaking, you don't find all that much laughter in the Bible, but qualitatively, there's nothing quite like it to be found anywhere else. There are a couple of chapters in the book of Genesis that positively shake with laughter. Sarah was never going to see 90 again, and Abraham had already hit 100. And when the angel told them that the stork was on its way at last, they nearly collapsed. Abraham laughed till he fell on his face, and Sarah stood cackling behind the tent door so the angel wouldn't think she was rude as the tears streamed down her cheeks. When the baby finally came, they even called him Laughter, which is what Isaac means in Hebrew, because obviously no other name would do. He concludes, Sarah and her husband had plenty of hard knocks in their time, and there was plenty more of them still to come, but at that moment when the angel told them they'd better start dipping into their old age pensions to build a nursery, the reason they laughed was that it suddenly dawned on them that their wildest dreams hadn't been wild enough. Looking at this story from another point of view, we could say that the laughter of Abraham and Sarah was that, you know, that nervous laugh that people have, kind of the laughter of unbelief. They found it so ridiculously absurd that God's promise would ever come true. Consider what was, or maybe still is, your wildest dream, and maybe you've never even shared it with the people close to you because you're afraid they might laugh. In Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, I will bless Sarah and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then in our scripture for today, we heard, Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? When their son is finally born, in chapter 21, we read, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. There's also a time not to laugh, you realize. When might that be? When God says that anything is possible with him, and we flat out refuse to believe it. There's nothing funny about that. God loves us and wants what's best for us, but we need faith. We need to believe him when he makes a promise. We need to believe even though the situation we may be in seems hopeless. Let's find the humor in things and enjoy this great life God has graciously given us, but let's never laugh or laugh off God's promises, because God means what he says. In the last chapter, the Lord promised Abraham what humans even today would consider impossible. Sarah was going to be the mother of a son named Isaac in 12 months. As we just heard, Abraham laughed at the idea, but the Lord told him it would be so. To remind Abraham that he laughed, the Lord said the boy's name would be Isaac, meaning laughter. The Lord changed the name of Abram to Abraham to reflect that he would be the father of many nations. He also changed the name of Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. So in chapter 17, the Lord himself appears to Abraham by a new name, and this time his name is El Shaddai, God Almighty, and gives new names to Abram and Sarai to reflect their new reality. The names reflect that they're about to turn a corner. Things are about to get more exciting and more unpredictable than they had ever been. The Lord also made a second covenant with Abraham of circumcision, which was to be done with every male as a sign of the covenant. The rest of the chapter talks about the covenant marked by circumcision, but nowhere does Abraham break the good news to Sarah about being a mother. She had to overhear it at the door of Abraham's tent. Chapter 18 gives us a real appearance. And these three visitors, there's a lot of debate about who these three visitors actually were. The scripture indicates that the Lord is one of them speaking to Abraham, but we don't know the identity of the others. So New Testament experts say, and Old Testament experts agree that this was definitely an appearance of divinity. Whether it's an Old Testament appearance of Christ, the Son of God, or whether it was because there were three men that visited, the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're not entirely sure, but the Lord was present. And these weren't mere men. Whether Abraham knew this and bowed before the chief of them is debated, but Moses, the writer of this account, wants us to know it was the Lord present. Abraham made haste to greet and show hospitality to the guests. The New Testament warns us to show hospitality to strangers because we may be entertaining angels unawares. It could be the writer of Hebrews was thinking of this account when he wrote that line. This scene may hint that Abraham did just that, not knowing at first who they were, but he insisted that they get out of the heat of the day. And if you've ever been in the Middle East in the middle of the day, you know how hot it can become. So they were to drink water. He would get them food, and their lives would be refreshed, and they could go on their way. Sarah was ordered to quickly prepare three loaves of bread for the guests, and his servants were ordered to prepare the fatted calf. Now, as I read that, what clicked into my head was a New Testament story of a young man who had strayed from his home, and he returns home, and his gracious father also kills the fatted calf for a great feast. You know, the story of the prodigal. His reaction seems almost identical to what happens in Jesus' parable. The Lord asks Abraham then a very pointed question. Why did Sarah laugh? He again said this thing would happen the next spring, and Sarah denied laughing, but the Lord, who knows the heart of all people, told her differently. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the news that they would be parents of a child. Well, can you imagine? At 90 and 100, it does seem rather amusing. The gentle rebuke of Sarah by the Lord, I believe, was also directed at Abraham. The Lord said to them, yes, you did laugh, so don't deny it. You found this to be funny, or you had a nervous laugh about you, but you did laugh. As I just mentioned in Hebrews 13, there is instruction about showing hospitality to strangers. In the time the letter to the Hebrews was written, many Christians had been evicted from their homes and had their names removed from the roll of citizens of the cities and towns in which they lived. Anyone who received these people into their homes, showed them hospitality, was at risk of life and limb themselves. Now, these pilgrims and wanderers who no longer had any earthly city to belong to had to wander in the wilderness, and Christians were instructed to receive them into their homes. This is exactly the kind of hospitality I experienced when I was in Egypt. When I was in Cairo, I climbed into a taxi to take a ride across town, and the taxi driver took his coffee cup and he offered me some coffee. Of course, Egyptian coffee is very, very strong. So I said, thank you, no. And then I was worried that I might be offending him by refusing his gift. But hospitality comes second nature in the Middle East. They know how to be hospitable. So this scene with Abraham showing hospitality to these three visitors is very typical. We now know that the ultimate fulfillment of the Lord's promise to Abraham and Sarah was not truly in Isaac, their son, but it was in a descendant of Isaac who would be born to a young girl named Mary. And that person, Jesus of Nazareth, would come to Jerusalem in the spring of the year and offer his own life for the life of the world. As his children, let us follow him in offering true hospitality, and let us follow him in offering hope for the world today. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord asks Abraham in verse 14. When 90-year-old Sarah heard she was to be a mother, she laughed in disbelief, or maybe because it was funny, or maybe for both reasons. But to God, it was no laughing matter. Her laughter expressed her doubt. And today, people have the idea that God can make a saint out of a sinner, or God can transform a drug addict into a responsible citizen. And even though that seems absurdly impossible, it's nothing to laugh about, because God's power is much greater than any earthly power. I read an article from Psychology Today this week that says, intuitively, we know that laughter is one of the best tools we have for dealing with stress. And science can back that up. In fact, research into laughter goes even further, revealing that it's like a potent drug, like a powerful virus that conveys a slew of benefits for mind and body. So friends, remember this as we read and think on the story of Abraham and Sarah, that no matter what your reason for laughing, because something has tickled your funny bone, or because you are nervous and you let out a nervous laugh, no matter why you laugh, laughter is good, good for us all. Abraham and Sarah were reminded of that every time they spoke their son's name, Yitzhak, which means laughter. Amen.